So we are going to be in Acts. Interestingly enough, I actually was talking to the Lord this week about what series should I do for the spring and the summer. I've been doing that for a number of years now, is that there's a particular book of the Bible that I feel I'm just supposed to walk us through for the spring and the summer. And so I already knew where I was supposed to be, but I didn't have a message yet. And we're going to be in Acts. So when I speak with you now through the summer, and sometimes, you know, we continue it into the fall because we don't rush. We want to allow the Lord to have time to speak to us everything he wants to out of each chapter, right? So we are in Acts 1. Acts chapter 1. You always want to start at the beginning. And it starts out, the first account I composed, Theophilus. Who's I? Okay, I is Luke. This is Dr. Luke. This is Luke that went with Paul on some of his missionary journeys. And this is the Luke who wrote the gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Okay? So he said, I already composed one account, and that's the book of Luke, all about Jesus, what he began to do and to teach, until that day that he was taken up, after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these, his followers, he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days. So remember, after Jesus' death and resurrection, he appeared to them at the tomb. He appeared to them in the room where they were gathered. He appeared to some walking along the road. He appeared to them at the lake where they were fishing. And then he took them to the mount and ascended there. So that was over a period of 40 days Jesus appeared to them. And he spoke to them of things concerning the kingdom of God. Wouldn't that have been exciting? You know, Jesus died, and you thought this was the end of being a Christian, being a follower of Jesus. And then he comes back, and now he's explaining things to you more fully. Remember what I was hinting at over here? Well, now that I've died and I'm resurrected, now I can tell you more fully about the kingdom of God. And gathering them all together, so he called them all together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem. I think if Jesus gave a command, I'd listen. Huh? Well, I guess I should throw out there, do we? Because there's some commands. Okay, I'm just going to keep going. He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait. To wait. For what? Now listen, this is the phrase we're going to look at this morning. For what the Father had promised. Huh? Yeah. Jesus said, wait. Father God promised something. And does God fulfill his promises? Okay. So you wait, and that thing he promised is going to come. Well, we're going to see what that is this morning. Which he said, you heard of from me, John baptized with water. Okay. Baptized. Immersed. Covered with, put in, okay, remember John baptized Jesus with water, but you will be baptized, immersed, placed in, saturated with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Okay, what is Jesus talking about? Well, I'm glad you asked, because that's what we're going to discover. So now we're going back to the first book that he wrote. We're going back to Luke. Luke chapter 24. A lot of word this morning, because we're trying to learn something. And we learn things by looking in the word and seeing what Jesus said or what he did. And they arose that very hour and returned to Jerusalem. Who's they? The people that Jesus had met with along the road to Emmaus. And they found gathered together the 11. okay, the apostles that were left after Jesus' death and resurrection, and those who were with them. And they said, the Lord's really risen, and he has appeared to Simon. And they began to relate their experiences on the road. I didn't tell you what verse. 24, 33, and 34 is where we're starting. I see you all scrolling on your phones and flipping pages. My mistake. Okay? 24, 33. And now we're up to 35. They began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. And while they were telling these things, he himself appeared in their midst. Now just think about that. Most of them hadn't seen him yet. They heard he was alive, but the last they saw, he was on the cross. Or maybe some of them saw him placed in the tomb. And you're thinking, you know, is Jesus alive? And then there he is. He wasn't there, and there he is. He wasn't there, and there he is. So they had the same reaction we would. Okay, if I'm standing here talking and I look and there's Jesus standing in front of the communion table, they were startled and frightened. Yeah. And thought they were seeing a ghost. And Jesus said to them, why are you troubled and why do you have doubts in your heart? See my hands and my feet. It is me. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and blood as you see that I have. And he showed them his hands and his feet. He was raised not just a spirit, but his body was raised as well. And while they still could not believe it for joy, think they were pretty excited? Come on. And were marveling, he said to them, do you have anything to eat? How very common and practical, right? And they gave him a piece of fish, and he took it and ate it. Now he said to them, these are the things that I spoke to you about while I was with you. Okay, so he's saying, remember, I said to you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Okay, so Jesus said, remember, I had told you that. And he's reminding them that because now all those things have been fulfilled. So the things that we read about Jesus in the Old Testament, about the Messiah coming, about the Lamb of God coming, about the King coming to establish his kingdom. All of those things have been fulfilled. Jesus accomplished every one of them. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Come, Lord. I love that expression. Because we can read the word, but we want the word to be revealed to us. We want Jesus, even now this morning, to take what is written here and make it real to us so that we understand it. And it says, he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. That's an excellent thing to pray when you open the word. Say, okay, Lord, I'm getting ready to do my devotions. I'm getting ready to read the word. Open my mind to understand your word. Amen? Okay. Then he said to them, it's written that Christ the Messiah should suffer and rise again on the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. So he was reminding them that not only did his coming allow them to repent and be saved, but they had a mission. He wanted that to be proclaimed in all the nations. Now, if you're sitting there and you hear Jesus saying that, my question would be, yeah, how's that ever going to happen? Maybe the rest of you would be like, sure, Jesus, we're good with that. But with me, I think, how are we going to do that? Who's going to do it? How are we going to do it? And he says, you are witnesses of these things. So Jesus wants us to go out and tell others what we've experienced, what we've seen, what we felt. And they're thinking, okay, well, tell us how. Okay, don't just give us instruction, tell us how. Here we go, you listening? And behold, I am sending forth, here we go, the promise of my Father upon you. And you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Okay, now we learned something else. We're still not perfectly clear what the promise is, but when the promise comes, you're going to receive power to do the things I just instructed you to do. He led them as far as Bethany and lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came about while he was blessing them, he departed. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy, were continually in the temple praising God. Remember my last message? We reminded ourselves we get strength from his joy, and the joy of the Lord is there in his presence, the fullness of joy. Okay, so now let's look at what promise. Twice now we've heard the phrase, what the Father had promised. All right. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. That's John 14. Okay, so now we know. That thing that the Father promised he would send, it's not a thing. It's a he. The Holy Spirit. From John 15, when the one called alongside to help comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, who is the Spirit of truth, he will speak and testify of me. Okay? Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. In John 16, Jesus tells his followers, I'm going back to the Father who had sent me. And I understand that this is making you sad. But Jesus encourages them by saying, in fact, it's actually better that I go away. Now, can you imagine hearing Jesus saying that? You're following him. You're watching him do miracles. You see him walking on water. All the people say, Hosanna, Hosanna, here comes the King. And you're excited. And Jesus says, well, I'm going back to heaven now. And you're going, oh, okay. And he says, and that's actually really good for you. Okay, can you explain why that's really good for me that you're going back to heaven? And he says, because if I go away, it's good because I go away, because if I don't, the Helper won't come. What? See, the Jesus could only be with so many people at a time. Sometimes he was with 11. Sometimes he was with 4, 5, or 6. Sometimes 3. Sometimes just 1. But the Holy Spirit can be with all of us. So he said, it's actually better if I go, because if I go, then the Holy Spirit, the Helper, he will come. I will send him to you, and when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, excuse me, my allergies this spring. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. So it's a he and not an it. Sometimes we think he's a force. No. He's the third person of the Trinity. There's only one God, but there's Father, Son, Jesus, and Holy Spirit. Okay? Father, Son, Jesus, and Holy Spirit. Remember at Jesus' baptism, we actually saw all three. That's like the only place in Scripture where we can have a snapshot of the Trinity. Jesus the Son was in the water being baptized by John the Baptist. God the Father says from heaven, this is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Then the Holy Spirit comes down and rests upon him. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So it's a he, not an it. All right. So if we return to Acts 1, we wanted to see what this promise was. Do we get it now? What's the promise? The Holy Spirit. Okay. So we now want to remind ourselves, what should the disciples expect when that Holy Spirit comes? Verse 8:18. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Now think about all the things that you own that just sit there and don't do anything until they receive power. Come on. You have a refrigerator, but if you unplug it, it's just an empty box. You have a car. It's a beautiful car, a nice car. You like that car. You wash it. You clean it. You put gas in it. You put oil in it. But it's just a crate sitting in your yard until you give it power. Okay? So we're vessels for Jesus to use, but there's very little that we can do without the power. And Jesus says that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. So theologians have pointed out over and over, and I love this, yes, it means to be, to witness. So when the Holy Spirit comes upon me, I can witness, you can witness, but it also says to be witnesses. So the Holy Spirit actually comes and empowers us to live in such a way that we can be a witness. Now, that doesn't mean an excuse not to witness, but I like the idea that the Holy Spirit is the power in me to help me be a witness and to witness. Amen? All right. Jesus had told them, go into every nation, proclaim the gospel to every person. Every nation, every person. Now, I think you realize why we had to receive power from the Holy Spirit. How else are we going to do every nation and every person? But now we know how Jesus expected them to do that. He knew he was going to send the promise of the Father. He knew that they were going to be empowered. Does that apply to us today? We also need to be empowered. So, now we know what Jesus said he's going to do. Now we know what he said should happen. Did Jesus send the promise of the Father? Were the disciples empowered by the Holy Spirit? And is that whole same Holy Spirit available for us today? Well, let's find out. You ready? Acts 1. So there we are, back at the beginning of Acts. And it says in verse 15 that Peter was in the midst of the brethren, a gathering of 120 people. So we know now that this group that is waiting for what the Father had promised is 120 people. And they're all together, and they're staying and waiting for what Jesus promised. Okay? Acts 2. And when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Okay, the 120 in one room. And suddenly, see, God moves in suddenly. I mean, they were waiting and waiting and eating and taking bathroom breaks and fellowshipping and going outside and coming back in and waiting and longer and waiting and then suddenly. So we wait and we ask God to come and we expect him to come, and then there's a sudden. And when he shows up, things completely change and nothing is the way it was before. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind. Ooh, that would have been so interesting to hear, huh? Hear this violent wind, you know, a tornado coming, do we dive under the seats? You know, do we go to the basement and put books over our heads? What do we do? Here comes this violent rushing wind. It filled the whole place where they were gathered, and then there appeared tongues of fire. Come on, wouldn't that have been interesting? So with the wind comes this fire, and it rests on each other. Come on, Lord, do it. Tongues of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each of them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They didn't get just a touch of the Holy Spirit. This means filled overflowing. So you're pouring water into your mug, cup, glass, whatever those things Lori has on the chair beside her thermos, and you're pouring it in, and now it's filled and overflowing. Come on. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now, there were Jews in that day in Jerusalem from every nation under heaven. It's because it was a Jewish festival. It was the Pentecost. Okay, when we hear Pentecost, we think of the filling of the Holy Spirit. But the Pentecost was something that the Jews had celebrated for hundreds of years, and that's when Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. So all these people, these Jewish people from other nations, were there to celebrate Pentecost. And they heard the sound, and they heard all these people speaking in tongues, and the multitude came together and said, come on, what's going on? They were bewildered. Okay, that was me. It didn't say that in there. They were bewildered because they were each hearing them speak in their own language. So what did Jesus say? When the Spirit comes upon you, you will have power to be my witnesses. What were they doing already? They were sharing what Jesus did, but in other languages they had never learned. Pretty powerful. Okay, verse 14. But Peter taking his stand. Now, come on. This is Peter who, when they were sitting outside around the campfire and Jesus was in being tried, and this lady says to him, I think you were a follower of Jesus. Nope, never. Don't know him, not me. And someone else says, I think so. I think I saw you with him. No, I said, I don't know Jesus. And then the third time he said, yeah, you're a Galilean, he's a Galilean. You are a follower of Jesus. And he actually cursed. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not. Then the rooster crowed. Now the same guy, empowered by the Holy Spirit, voluntarily stands up in front of this whole crowd gathered to Pentecost. Why? Because he was empowered by the Holy Spirit to be a witness. So can I expect that? I'm a fairly shy guy. I mean, you may not know that, but I don't always just stand out in a crowd, or if I'm in a group of people, I'm not the most outgoing, boisterous person cracking the whole room up. But, you know, if Jesus says, stand up and witness, will I stand up and witness? Empowered by the Holy Spirit. Thank you. Appreciate that vote of confidence. All right. So Peter stands up, raises his voice, and declares. Okay, he didn't stand up nice and quiet and say, hey, does anybody want to know about Jesus? If you do, come here and I'll tell you. Okay. He says, men of Judea, and all of you that are here in Jerusalem today, let this be known to you, give heed to my word. Wow. In other words, listen up, I have something to say. These men are not drunk. They might act like they're drunk because they're filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, but it's only 9 a.m. But this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my Spirit upon all mankind. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my servants, both men and women, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they will prophesy. I will grant wonders in the sky and signs on the earth, and fire and blood and smoke. The sun will turn to darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and glorious day of the Lord. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So listen. Listen to these words. Jesus, the Nazarene, a man proven to be from God with miracles and wonders and signs, which God performed through him in your midst. You yourself know this. This man, this person, he was delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God. You nailed him to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, for it was impossible for him to be held by it. So what's he doing? He's doing exactly what Jesus told him to do. You will be empowered by the Holy Spirit, and I want you to witness. So he's sharing the good news. This is what Jesus did. This is why he did it, how he did it. This is what Jesus did. Verse 32. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father, listen, the promise of the Holy Spirit, okay, there we are again, he has poured forth this which you see and hear. Okay? So it's telling us again that Holy Spirit was the promise of the Father. And the Father said to Jesus, now that you're here, I give you permission to do this, and Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. Are you glad Jesus sent the Holy Spirit? So Jesus sent forth the Holy Spirit, and did it do what he said it would do? Yes, it empowered his followers to be witnesses. So let's see now, what was the result of Peter being empowered and witnessing? Did anything happen? Was there any response? Verse 37. Now when they heard this, they had their conscience smitten. They heard the word, and when they did, they knew they had to respond. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what must we do to be saved? And Peter said to them, repent, and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Come on. So he told them, repent, be saved. And the same gift of the Holy Spirit that we received, you can receive it as well. Verse 41. So then, those who received his word were baptized. They were baptized. And there were added that day. How many? 3,000. Okay. So we have them all gathered in a room, waiting for something to happen. Nobody's witnessing. Nobody's getting saved. The Holy Spirit comes upon them. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter stands up and witnesses like he was instructed to. They're pierced in heart, and 3,000 people were saved. Come on. Come on. What do you think about that, Karen? Amen. That's pretty exciting. I want to see that. How about you? I want to be empowered. Okay? Wouldn't it be exciting next week if we each said that we brought 5 people to the Lord? I mean, 3,000 to me is a little out there, because when will I address 3,000? But, you know, if I could just bring 5 people to the Lord and each of us did that this week, wow. Come on. Absolutely. All right. Verse 42. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. 46. Day by day they continued with one mind in the temple, broke bread from house to house. They took their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. The Lord was adding to their number daily those who were being saved. Wow. Do we want to see people being saved daily? Do we want to see the Lord adding to our number? Amen, amen. So how did that happen? Let's remind ourselves. How were they able to accomplish that? First thing was being filled with the Holy Spirit. So I have six things to give you that they did right here. So you ready to write them down? You have space in your bulletins. If you have pen or pencil, otherwise, you're going to have to type it in your phone, or you can just say, I'm great at remembering six things. Okay, go for it. So the first thing is they were filled and empowered with the Holy Spirit. Filled and empowered with the Holy Spirit. Number two, and I'll repeat the list. Number two, they gathered for teaching. So in other words, they got together and they said, okay, we need the leaders to teach us. We need to learn more. We need to be instructed. So they gathered for teaching. Number three, they prayed together. Come on. We pray together as Marty leads us. We pray together as Pastor Steph leads us for the missionaries. We prayed together this morning for the Dills and the Kimmels. So they prayed together. Number one was they were empowered by the Holy Spirit. Number two, they gathered for teaching. Number three, they prayed together. Number four, they had a united purpose. They had a united purpose. If we have 10 different things we're trying to accomplish and we're all out there doing different things, we're not going to accomplish as much as if together we have a united purpose. Jesus gave them a united purpose. Go into all the world and lead every nation and every people to Christ. Be my witnesses in every nation and every person. So they had a united purpose. Number five, it says they praised God together. Okay? Yes, we should pray at home. Yes, we should praise at home. But there's a time to come together and pray. There's a time to come together and worship and praise. So they praised God together. And then number six, they were out in the community sharing the gospel. It says that they had favor with the people in the community. Well, how do you get favor with people in the community? You spend time with them. You have relationship with them. You go into their shops. You visit people in the ball field. You know, while your kids are playing sports or at the school, you build favor with the people of the community by being in the community. For years and years, we said, well, we're going to build favor in the community by inviting them here. That's gotten harder and harder. So you go out, you build relationship with them in the community, then you say, hey, we have an awesome church. We'd like to invite you to come. Then they'll come. It used to be you just invited them and sure, that sounds interesting. Now they want you to have relationship, get to know them. They get to know you. Then invite them to church. Okay. So number one, they were empowered by the Holy Spirit. Number two, they gathered for teaching. Number three, they prayed together. Number four, they had a united purpose. Number five, they praised together. And number six, they were out in the community. It says they were continually devoting themselves to teaching, to fellowship, to prayer, and every day they were united together with joy, praising God. So this is what I think we should do as we close. I always like to give us a chance to have God apply the word to us. And usually I have all week for him to do it to me, but this just came last night and this morning because that's when I had to do it. So I want to make sure I allow him time to speak to me and speak to you. So we want to ask the Holy Spirit. We want to say, okay, Holy Spirit, here's this list of six things. Okay, you wrote them down or you're thinking about them. Which one or two do I need work on, and which one or two do I want to ask you to help me with this morning? Does that sound good? When you read through that list, Holy Spirit, come and show us which one or two I need to work on. And then, Holy Spirit, as you show it to me, I want you to come and empower me and help me to work on those one or two. So I want to see people saved as I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. And I know you do. I know you do. And I want to see the church grow. And I know you do. Verse 47, as we close that part of Acts, says, praising God and enjoying and interacting with people, their number grew daily as God added those who were.